It's an adventure. Okay, today we're going to do a very short piece, do something a little bit different. I teased you by suggesting that we're going to discuss what is Gemara, what is Torah, and what is Daf Yomi. Okay, and I can now say this because, as those of you who know me know, I started with Daf Yomi at the beginning of Shabbat. So now that we're almost 20 Daf in, you're a Daf Yomi, all right? Now, anybody here a Daf Yomi? Oh.
Johnny,
so we can talk about this, okay? If you come. What is Daf Yomi? And even better to the point, is Daf Yomi Gemara? You'll understand what I mean. You'll say, what do you mean? Of course it's Gemara. Well, we'll see. And then we're going to see a very interesting discussion about the nature of Psak. What's the best way to Paskin Halacha? What's the best way to learn in order for a person to Paskin Halacha? And you'll understand what I mean in a minute from an offhand comment on Rashi. Says the Gemara on page on the little page numbers on the bottom, page 41, Amud 41. Okay, says the Gemara, and we're gonna read it as we always do. Try with a careful eye. We're gonna try to understand exactly what's being conveyed through the text itself, and then we're gonna ask a few questions, and then we're gonna use the Mefarshim in order to answer the questions. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv. Ve'etna lecha et luchot ha'even ve'atorah ve'amitzvot asher katavti lehorotam. Okay, very straight, simple, straightforward pasuk. And I give you the luchot ha'even, the tablets of stone, and the Torah and the mitzvah that I wrote lehorotam to teach them. Luchot ha'even, luchot el aseret ha'dibrot. These are Ten Commandments. Ve'atorah zo mikra. Ve'amitzvah zo mishnah. Asher katavti, elu nevi'im uktuvim. Lahorotam, zo gemara. Melamed shekulam nitnu lemoshe misinai. This is to teach us that all of these things were given to Moshe on Sinai. Let's read it again. We'll get to the list. Thanks. Read it again and get to the list again. Okay, it's important, like if you had a pen, you could do what I did, which is to write out the list. Number one, Aseret HaDibrot. Number two, Torah. Number three, Mishnah. Number four, okay. Number five, Gemara. Looking at that list, does anything call out to you? Does anything seem unusual about that list? That if you were a commentator, you would say, "Wow, why does it supposed to make a list that way?"
Between Mishnah.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's question number one. Why in the world you would? How would you list it? How would you say it should be? Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Mishnah, Gemara. Which makes sense. Mm-hmm. How do I know? I've got a mission to prove it. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Mesara liHoshua. Yehoshua is the king. He became the Nevi'im. Nevi'im mesaru al Hashem Knesset HaGedolah. That's the transmission of the Torah. Especially when we talk about Torah Shebaal Peh. So why in the world, in this list, does it seem to imply that Nevi'im is in between it says Torah, Mishnah, Navi, and then only afterwards Gemara. Understand the question? Good. Anything else? Anything else seem unusual about this? What is interesting is...
You think it's strange that Mishnah second?
Wouldn't you put Tanakh, Navim, and Ketuvim second? No. Torah, Navim, Ketuvim, Mishnah, Gemara. Torah, Navim, and Ketuvim does come before Mishnah.
No.
Of course it does. Nevi'im.
No.
Ketuvim, much of Ketuvim was written during the times of Shlomo HaMelech.
No,
most of it.
Mishnah was given David. To Moshe. Written down, it was different, but it was given to Moshe.
Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and Gemara wasn't?
No, Gemara was. Gemara is in the wrong place.
Oh, Gemara is in the wrong place.
What about like, Lorotam, Zedimah?
Yeah.
What's that?
What does that mean? What does it mean? Melamed shekulam nitnu leMoshe miSinai. Really? Really? Right. The Mishnah was given. I mean, what is the Mishnah? The way we know the Mishnah, what is the Mishnah?
That's what I was suggesting.
What do you mean?
No, the Mishnah we know is what was written down, but Mishnah, the transmission of the Oral Torah was given it.
So you're saying that this is not referring to the Mishnah that we're learning. You're saying this is.
This is referring. Was written down because we were losing it, but the real Mishnah.
You think that when it was given to Moshe, that there's a distinction between Moshe, when Moshe was given the Torah Shebal Peh, that there's a distinction that was made between Mishnah and Gemara. What?
Says how it was given. It was given to Moshe. Moshe gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua gave it to the...
Gave what?
The Oral Torah.
Correct. Is there a distinction between Mishnah and Gemara?
Is there a...
Distinction between Mishnah and Gemara?
When
God gave it to Moshe, he distinguished between Mishnah and Gemara?
The distinction here is there isn't. That it was all given together.
No, I'm asking. See, so I guess what I'm asking you is, do you think this is talking about what God gave to Moshe or what we have?
I think it's talking about what God gave to Moshe.
Really? So then there's a distinction between Mishnah and Gemara. You think that's what I'm asking you? So that indicates to me, the way I understand it, that it wasn't talking about what God gave to Moshe. Of course, it's obvious. And by the way, do I need the Gemara to tell me that what God gave to Moshe, God gave to Moshe? Kulam nitnu le Moshe mi Sinai. So I need. Why would you need to say that? Obviously, if you say that, what does that tell you?
It tells you that there are people who disagree with that.
There are people that, correct. There are people that are disagreeing with that. Okay.
That's why they had the Gemara to give it chizuk.
Interestingly, do we believe that?
We believe Mishnah. I think we have to believe Mishnah.
Really?
We don't believe that the Gemara and Rashi is going to Moshe.
Correct. We don't believe that. So then what do we believe? No one in the world is just talking about.
The reason we have
that they get to were known before.
The halachot, the maskanot of the halachot were given to Moshe and Harsinai. Mm-hmm. That's a very fascinating question. And whenever you have a machloket, is the machloket trying to figure out what the original assumption was? Or is the machloket using principles in order to try to come to the most reasonable conclusion based on the principles? Meaning, and there's a Gemara that indicates, you understand the difference? The Gemara indicates the opposite. The Gemara indicates that more like I said than what you said. You know, there's a very, very famous Gemara that's called Tanur Shel Achnai. You ever heard of it? The Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara tells a very famous story where it's, I think, Rabbi Meir against all the Chachamim. There was a certain kind of tanur, an oven. And this oven was Mekabel Tuma. Any kli is Mekabel Tuma. But this oven, what they would do is they would break it apart, and then they put it back together. So the question is it tameh or not tameh? So
what was it made of?
Cheres. It's made of earthenware. Okay. So the Gemara says is a machlok between Rabbi Meir. I think I'm sure it's Rabbi Meir. You can look it up. It's Baba Metzia and Nun something. One of those I'm reading. Okay. The Gemara says Rabbi Meir says I'm right, and the Chacham said you're not right, and we win. Okay, because we're the majority. So Rabbi Meir says, if I'm right, let a bat kol come out from the heavens and declare that I'm right. And lo and behold, hey, listen to him. He's really smart. Okay. And what do Chachamim say? They say, we don't pass him based on a bat kol. There's a number of other examples. The Gemara says, what? Porkiness?
The tree.
He moved the tree. Then there's a stream. He said, if I'm right, the water will flow uphill. And then he says, if I'm right, the walls of the Beit Midrash will cave in. The walls start caving in. The Chachamim said, stop! It's a great story. Okay? And so
Lo b'shamayim, they lean in.
Right? So the Gemara, what does that mean, Lo b'shamayim?
It's for us to work it out.
Lo b'shamayim, right, means that it's not we're not trying to just figure out what God wants. God has halacha up there, and he says, we got a halacha down here. And we don't even, and not that we don't want to know what, it's not that we don't want to know what God says. Even if we know what God decides, if we think opposite, then we decide. It's a very, very powerful Gemara. It's a critical Gemara. Okay? So the power is for us to decide, and we're not trying to necessarily figure out what God said to Moshe. Rather, we're just using the rules that we have, that were given to us in order to establish what halacha is. A lot of people don't know the end of that story. The end of the story, the Gemara says, that they saw Eliyahu HaNavi, and somebody ran into Eliyahu HaNavi on the street, you know. So wonder why.
Hashem was laughing.
So they asked, they asked Eliyahu, who you guys were watching, right? Yeah, he says, what did God say? What did Rosh Hashanah say? So Gemara says, he said, Eliyahu HaNavi said, Nitzchuni banai nitzchuni, that my children have beaten me. As if God was proud of us for standing our ground.
Isn't it? He was laughing.
Laughing pleasure. Happy.
Maybe.
Ah, come on. Nitzchuni banai. They beat me.
Maybe.
Yeah, now that's the clear implication of the Gemara. You want to read it differently?
That's the clear implication of the Gemara.
What does it mean? Let's go back to our piece. If that's true, if we're not looking, if we're not interested in finding out what God said to Har Sinai, If we're not interested, if we're less interested, what does it mean? I don't believe that literally. So what is it? If I'm not supposed to understand it literally, then how am I supposed to understand it? We'll let that hang there for a minute. Okay?
Can I suggest why Gemara is here?
You can suggest why Gemara is in the place that it's in? Sure.
And why Mishnah is in the place? Because we...
I mean, Mishnah is... Really, Mishnah is out of place.
No. Yeah. Actually,
I mean, why
is in the right place.
Explain to me why Mishnah is not out of place.
Fine. I'm explaining why they're all in the right place. Because in terms of Nevoah, in terms of what we see as... you know, coming from... as close to possible as coming from Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
The word from Hashem. We have that from Torah and we have that from Mishnah. What Moshe got. And that's on a certain level. And Nevi'im and Ketuvim, and then still divine, but they're somewhat a lower level.
Really? You think Nevi is less on a divine level than Mishnah?
From the original Mishnah, sure.
We're not talking about the original Mishnah.
But maybe we are, because Mishnah...
It's very hard to get off a point.
Mishnah and Gemara are the interpretation of that divine word.
Mishnah and Gemara are not the interpretation. Oh, they are the explanation of the divine word.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And therefore, they are more focused on the original word, Nevoah, of Hashem through Moshe, than Nevi'im, which is one level lower.
That's fine, but why would Nevi interrupt? Why would you have Nevi interrupt between Mishnah and Gemara? What?
Yeah. The
same? I want to go on. Yeah.
It seems to be like a progression here. If you look at how it's described, it's the Luchot HaBrit,
mm-hmm.
and it's broken down
into Torah,
into Mikra, then it's Mishnah, then it's Nevi'im, then it's Gemara. It seems to be like going from an axiomatic state of Ten Commandments,
yeah.
which is broken down into something more, let's say, understandable, Mikra,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then the Mishnah is one level down, where it's related to the Mikra, somehow, whatever it is, understanding it to the Mikra. And then the Nevi'im is brought more down into the life of people's real life. And the Gemara I'm guessing it, but my understanding is that it's taken down even further more. You can actually argue about it, understand.
You could. You know, you could ignore all these questions and say very simply that all he was doing is reading the Pasuk. Because if you look at the Pasuk, it makes sense. Okay? Luchot Eben, what does that refer to? Obviously, Asar Dibro. Torah, what does that refer to? He's saying that's Torah Shemitzah. Okay, that's fine. Mitzvah, Zo Mishnah. Why does he say Mitzvah is Mishnah? Look at Rashi for a second. Zo Mishnah. Okay? Sheet Asku B'Mishnah. When we say Mishnah, Mishnah has a connotation. What does Mishnah refer to? As opposed to Gemara. Right. Mishnah, it doesn't mean the Mishnah necessarily the way we understand Mishnah, i.e. the teaching. What does it mean?
Halacha.
Right. Mishnah is what to do. Okay, so that would make sense in the context of the HaMitzvah. What's the Mitzvah? What you're supposed to do. Asher Katavti. So Asher Katavti can't go on, you know what I'm saying? I know Mitzvah is Mishnah, is you know the Halacha. Asher Katavti is something written down. So what's written down that I haven't mentioned before?
Yeah.
All I got left is the Vim Ketuvim. Lahorotam, Zogmara. Now look at Rashi. Lahorotam, Zogmara. What is Zogmara? Says Rashi. Svarat ta'ame ha-mishnayot shemimenu hora'a yotza. Hora'a, instruction, emanates from Gemara, from the Svarot. From the understanding behind. Meaning you have two elements of Judaism, of Torah Shabbat Peh. You have halacha, which is what to do. And then
why?
You have why. But not why in the ta'ameh ha-mitzvot, trying to understanding it, but more why of what's the underlying logic, what's the underpinnings, what's the understanding of the halakha that the way the Torah commands, and that's what Gemara is all about. And it says Rashi, Aval hamorim hora'a min ha-mishnah nikraim mevalei olam. I underlined it for you because I underlined it before I could photocopy. But, because it called out to me. What does that mean? Those who teach or those who give instruction from the Mishnah, i.e., what is the Mishnah? In Rashi's vernacular, what is Mishnah? The Mishnah here, it doesn't mean Mishnah. Mishnah here means from the Halacha book. If you just give instruction from a halacha book, you're what's called mevalei olam. You are someone who confounds the world. You confuse the world. Meaning, for a person to give psak halacha, says Rashi, you can't just read the instruction. You can't just, well, get a little meme of mine, but, you know, look it up on the internet and say, well, it says here, 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 so you can, that's what I'm supposed to do. Rather,
just understand.
You have to know what's happening. Yeah, you have to understand.
I heard something about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was very much like that. He didn't actually write on in his Pesach Halacha. He didn't write the Sefer on Halacha. For that very reason. He said that sometimes you get two situations which most people say it's the same case. This is
correct.
The same case. And he was saying it's not the same case. He was
correct.
Ruled that way.
Correct. So we're going to see today, I'm going to share with you a huge, vigorous debate between scholars throughout much of Jewish history, throughout much of intellectual Jewish history, definitely through the Rishonim, definitely through the Achronim. We're going to see one position of the Rabbi Migash, Rabbi Yitzchak Migash, he's a Rishon from, I don't remember when, and then we're going to see the position of the Maharal, taking two opposite sides of the same coin, of this question of psak from the Mishnah, or we'll call it psak from the Halacha. It was very well known. It's actually, I remember, and actually I was pointed to these, I'll just point it out. My boss, Rav Gutel, he's president of Orot, and he writes like scholarly articles. So he sent me his article. They translated it into English because it was in some journal or something. He wrote this article about the Maharal and his style of teaching. So he asked me to make sure the translation was correct. So in it, you have to read it over like pretty carefully. So I remembered he brings up this debate between the Rimagash and the Maharal. So I wanted to point out and to give credit that he pointed me in this direction. So first, let's answer our other questions. We're going to see a small chapter from Rav Kook, and then we'll move to this the fascinating debate about the nature of psak itself, and then finally I'll go off on Daf Yomi. Okay? You'll give me my high horse, since I'm learning it now. I can talk about it.
Is it going to be good or bad?
I don't either. Okay. What?
Depends what you want.
Depends what your attitude is. Let's look at first HaKotev. 1 second. Okay, says the in Yaakov Hakotev, Luchot Evin, Lashon Harav Rashi, Hu Katzar VeAroch. See how I am in the Kotev on the first page. Stay on the first page. Right, the language of Rashi is short and long, and he puts in the parentheses Ra'oi LeDakdekbo. It's worthwhile to see. What's he referring to, by the way, in Rashi? I think when he's saying it's worth checking out Rashi, he said I think he's referring to his comment. You know what I'm saying? Like Rashi said it, I didn't say it. Yeah. This idea of people paskening, I think, was an issue that rankled rabbis forever. It always rankled rabbis. Because as soon as codes came out, as soon as the Rambam published the Mishnah Torah, who needs a rabbi? And of course, what did the rabbi say? You can't pasken for the Mishnah Torah. How do you even like...
Hence the name Mishnah Torah.
What?
Mishnah.
Hence the name Mishnah Torah, right? He got into trouble for that. Okay? So it's all the way from Rambam Mishnah Torah to today, Kanina Halacha. Right, oh, Pnei Nechah says this, Rav Malami says this, what do we need, you know, like...
Rambam had justification what he did. Very good one.
Yes, it's understandable why he did what he did. But to some degree, there's a cost for what he did.
But writing down the mission in the first place was...
Writing down the mission they admitted was... But the Mishnah is not... You can't pass them for the Mishnah.
No.
Mishnah is a short...
No, but it was supposed to be an old tradition.
The brilliance of the Mishnah and the Gemara is you can't pass it from them unless you learned it all. Unless you know it. You know what I'm saying? Only later, really starts with the Rambam, where he really puts it in order. He says, okay, you want to know about brachot? Read Hilchot Brachot. What if you don't know anything about anything else? Just Hilchot Brachot, Rambam wrote it down. You know what I'm saying? And then nowadays, so you just go on a website, some guy, some rabbi you never heard of, it's like Wikipedia, Rabbicopedia told you to do XYZ. No problem. Who's the rab? How do you know he's right? You don't. You know what I'm saying? So how do you know to, you know what I'm saying? How does he know that your situation, how do you know that your situation matches the thing that you're reading there? People do this all the time, especially in Hilchot Nida today. Right, you go on a website, you do a little search, some rabbi says XYZ, all the time. That's what the rabbis wanted. You're supposed to say the Harav. But why bother? If it's written in front of you, why should I talk to the rab? Okay, you said it, not me. Va'il v'daktechva. Ki befeirush zo mikra katab shemitzvah likot v'torah. First of all, it's a mitzvah to read the Torah. V'lo katav tkein alzu mishnah, elashit askuba. It's very interesting. It says, asher katavti. Asher katavti and v'hatorah, that the idea of writing is about the mitzvah, about the Torah. And about mishnah, you should engage in it. Ibn Abdel Amiti Yesh Benehem. Kia Torah mitzvah shetikatev. Torah should be written. Vimkein mitzvah likrot v'Torah kiktuva. There's a mitzvah to read the Torah inside. Aval b'mishnah anachu havim litasek ba. Mishnah, you have to engage in the Mishnah. That's a lamar b'yidiata ba'al peh. Aval lo likrot ba v'lo b'talmu ki lo nitnu likatev. Just to point out, if the Mishnah and the Gemara were not given to be written down, how are they given to be transmitted? And, but he points out, very interesting. La asok ba lit asek ba. What does lit asek ba mean?
To study the Torah.
Now lit amel. I think of an amel, right? Lit asek.
Is it?
To engage, to be engaged in it. Okay? To be engaged in it means, in other words,
what, to discuss it?
To discuss it, absolutely. That is absolutely what it's supposed to be. Right? Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be Baal Peh. Even today, Torah Shebaal Peh is supposed to be Baal Peh. I'm just getting an indication of where I'm going with this, you know what I'm going to say. But it's obvious in the sources. It's supposed to be grappled with. It's supposed to be discussed. It's supposed to be a give and take of ideas. That's what Torah Shebaal Peh is really all about. And when you don't study it that way, you're studying, but you're not studying Gemara. You're not studying Torah Shebaal Peh. You know, because if, you know, something's missing, a great deal is missing. Okay? Ad Shiba'o Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rav Ashi V'katvu al Siba Amitit Yadua, until they came and wrote it down for obvious reasons. We know why they wrote it down. They wrote it down reluctantly. They wrote it down, they were upset that they wrote it down, but they wrote it down because they had to write it down. We understand why they wrote it down. The brilliance, I think Gemara is brilliant, actually. I mean, I think Gemara is brilliant. Thank you. The brilliance of Gemara is that it cannot be understood, really, by reading it. It has to be transmitted. It has to be conveyed. Because you can read it from here till tomorrow. You won't understand what it's trying to do. You won't understand the depth of it. You won't understand the complexity of it. Even today, with all great the study aids as it is, it's just not, you can't do it on your own. It's not something you can learn off a YouTube video. You just can't. You have to be trained in how to do it and how to understand it. That's something they think that's lost on people. Next, Iyun Yaakov, who was written by the Iyun Yaakov. Hagol Rav Mufak Rav Yaakov Reicher. I don't know who that is. Okay? Mai d'chtiv ana luchlucho te'evin? Efshar d'ikar limun midilokti b'pasuk lehefach et lucho te'evin asher katavti ha'terah b'amitra olavartam. Meaning, he says, why is the pasuk not written in the order that we think it should be written in, like we said? Ela v'adai lidrasha ate. The whole purpose of the pasuk is to be understood, to be extrapolated. Ulharot seder halimud. And so I'm telling you what the order of the learning should be. Shemitchila yilmud aseret ha'dibrot. First, learn Ten Commandments. What's number four? Just kidding. Okay. Ve'chakach mikra u'mishnah u'nevi'im u'ktuvim v'gemara. In order. Ve'lo shiye doleg ha'mikra u'mishnah l'lmod ha'gemara. Sound familiar? Don't go skipping mishnah and mikra. Don't, you know, you don't know Chumash, you don't know Navi, and you're like learning Gemara. What does it sound like, by the way?
Daf Yomi.
No, don't forget Daf Yomi. Halavai should be that Daf Yomi. I'll get the Daf Yomi.
Actually, when they look at it like in the universities and stuff like
that. Not even that. How do we learn today? When you grew up in high school, when you went to high school, did you learn all of Tanakh before you went on to Mishnah? Did you learn Mishnah, Torah first? First of the whole Torah. Then learn Mishnah. Then learn Tanakh, and then learn Gemara.
Some schools at
that. Now there are. Now there's a whole movement called the Zilberman Method, right? That do this. That they learn Mikra, they learn all of Chumash, they learn a ton of Mishnah, and they almost do the whole thing, and then they learn Gemara. Why? For a very simple reason. Because the mind matures in very different ways. You learn Gemara, if you're learning Talk Gemara as a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, you're going to learn it like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. And it's not meant for that. It's meant for a more sophisticated method of thought. And when you teach something sophisticated, let's say I wanted to teach you, advanced calculus, or, you know what I'm saying? And you can memorize it, perhaps. But you're not going to learn it properly. So comes the Iyun Yaakov says, what's scary and fascinating is apparently back in his time, whenever Rav Reicher lived, somebody could look it up, they had already started doing that. Why? Because Gemara is exciting. Gemara, because you become a Gaon when you learn Gemara. There's nothing exciting about learning Navi. But if you read real Gedolim, if you want to, especially the Rabbanim Sfaradim, they knew all Tanakh by heart.
Yeah, but in this case, that he learned Tanakh 8 times.
Yeah.
Sad to say, people didn't do that.
No, people didn't do it. Sad to say, I never learned all of Mishnah. I'm now almost, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm almost finished the first time. Almost. But I'm learning, my son, I'm doing Mishnah Yomi. Why not? It's not so hard. Two Mishnah a day.
6 years
later, you know? It's like, it's so straightforward, it's so simple, but we don't do it. Just to cover the ground, just to be aware. And I think, by the way, this whole infatuation with Daf Yomi, I understand. You should do Mishnah. I'm telling you, it's such critical knowledge. You just cover everything, pretty much everything. You don't do it in such steps.
This cycle.
They're trying to get you to all do the Mishnah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that people do, but they're trying to do it.
There's a great benefit to doing Mishnah Yomi. If I could encourage all of you to, if you have children yet. I did it with my son. I thought I couldn't do it. It's not so hard to do. You're doing it, right?
I'm not doing it, but not daily.
Not daily.
We are working on the Mishnah.
Yeah.
We're doing Mishnah study.
What?
We're doing Mishnah study. I can't say Mishnah Yomi.
It's great, isn't it? Uh-huh. It's just, you know.
Yomi.
Go for it. It's not so hard. If you don't know in Hebrew, there's the English. Just go for it. Okay. Turn to Rav Kook. Next page. Okay. Ba'am Rav Levi. Page 42. Ba'amar Rabbi Levi. Etc. Krakan haluchot luchot even. Why are the luchot specifically called luchot even? Lidaati bechavana miduyaket, with great intention specifically. Ve'od v'chein ba'od et demakomot. The luchot are called luchot even, luchot of stone. Ukvar hiir al ze yafe agon Rabbi something something mi Ecklenburg. B'sidur iyun tefila shelo b'tefila shachrit the Shabbat. Ubir aktava kabbalah. Yeah, he says, go look it up. Uledaati hine. Ha'evan hi achomesh aleab aya charut michtav elokim. Charut means hewn. The writing of God was hewn into the luchot. So the idea, of course, of stone means when I say something is set in stone, what is that? What is that image? What does that image tell you?
Permanent.
Permanence. Okay? Luchot eben. Vihine hamishanim et haTorah birisham. De'otehem yomru. Those who change the Torah in their attitudes, in the wickedness of their attitudes, will say, "Ki tzarich lishmor rachet ruach haTorah v'kavanata bichlala." Of course, the Torah is correct, but we have to maintain the spirit of the Torah, the intent of the Torah. Acham asim, but the actions, hu chomer haTorah hem mishanim lefi ruach hazman. So these things change, you know, with the winds of time. Rav Kook? He's quoting it. It's clear. Well, Rav Kook is quoting. So, what's he referring to? Obviously, what? Right, the reform, right, the turn of the 20th century, the decimation of Judaism, etc. Kidei lehotzi mideot nichzavot keile. In order to exclude this possibility, Natan Hakadosh Baruch Hu et aseret hadibrot. So God gave the Ten Commandments. Shem ot abrit al kol haTorah kula bechomer even. Why did God specifically give the Torah in stone? To tell you something very clear. It ain't going to change. Just to have you know, they said something that it sounds simple, but it's not as simple as it sounds.
This is the alternative.
What? To give it?
Papyrus. Is it like they didn't have paper?
It could read in a scroll. What are you talking about? Clef. Where God didn't have an option? Give him an iPad. I don't know. Got to figure it out.
Option,
what?
An option, but the standard was stone.
Stone tablets? No, so. In Egypt?
Maybe not.
Like a runner and a scroll. When Moshe gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, how did he give it to them? Tovah Tamal Sefer. They had the technology at the time. Okay?
In Egypt, they actually had papyrus.
Papyrus, right. They had
the... And mud slabs as well. So the two things.
Right, the stone actually implies something different. Stone implies a sense of permanence and long lasting. Mm. You know, when we do tombstones, we'll have deal. Like tombstones, we do them in stone. We hew them in stone because the writing might rub out, the paint will come off, but the letters don't change. Okay, Kedaru Chazal, Chazal said, "Shel snapirinun hayu, shafilu patishi futzatz al yadam." It was like this unbelievable, you know, crazy material. derelicts or whatever you wanted. Even the
stone.
The stones, right.
I did a sapphire.
What?
Sapphire.
San Pirinun? Sapphire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rashi
is that true?
Rashi
San Pirinun is a sapphire?
Don't know.
If I take a hammer and smash a sapphire with a hammer,
the
hammer
second,
break?
The second set.
It was green translucent, right?
Lahorot. Probably were cool. Sha'afilu ha'chomesh al Torah kedusha, ein shum shinu yachol lipol bo chas shalom. The Torah does not change. V'chol ma'asim sh'anu mitzavim mipi Hashem mitzvah ha'asiyat mitzvah. Any actions that we are commanded to do a mitzvah, hem chok olam divar tziva ledor vador. Okay, this is an eternal commandment that you have to keep to. All I want to say is that, of course, it's easier for us if you believe this. It's easier for us when it comes to reform. Okay, right, the Torah doesn't change. It's much more complicated when you come up upon cultural changes. One of the biggest issue that we face as a generation, I think one of the major issues, is the idea of gender roles in Judaism and how that reflects itself in ritual. So this comes up probably every 6 months. This issue rears its ugly head. Why is it that a woman can be a CEO? She could be the Prime Minister of Israel. She could be a Secretary of State of the United States of America. But of course, when it comes to our shul, she can't have any leadership position whatsoever. She can't daven for the Amud. You know what I'm saying? So the issues of tzniut, things are not going to change. But when we can nudge things in a direction, should we? Or do we say no? The values connected inherent in the Torah are men are this, women are that, and they can't change. So there's this blog that I read, and somebody wrote a post saying, no matter what you try to change, no matter how many women's tefillah groups you try to have, no matter how the women, remember we were talking about the women reading the Torah, and no matter how many things you do, bottom line is, you're talking about underlying values in the Torah. So I read a very simple response the guy wrote back, and he said, well, if it's an underlying value in the Torah, how come religious Jews aren't against women going and having professions? And being out in the world, and being, we have this schizophrenia between our religious persona and our everything else persona, where we have no problem with a woman being a CEO of a company, but as soon as she gets into shul, no, you go to the back. There's a little dissonance between those two things. Would not one think? How do you handle such dissonance? It's a challenge. Anyway, so when he says the mitzvot don't change, that's correct. I'm not going to take down the mechitza. But the mechitza raises other issues that I have to struggle with, that I don't necessarily have easy answers for. And to say it's not going to change, I agree. But how do you deal with the fact that it's not going to change when everything around it is changing? Absolutely everything. I stumped you?
No, I'm going to comment. I don't want to.
You don't want to comment on the internet for posterity. Yeah.
Outside of the show, there's lots of. I mean, you have also examples like that. Deborah, she was a judge, was a great leader. You have lots of great leaders in there.
I contend, I think you've shared this, not here once, that Devarah is the example the other way. The whole of Sefer Shoftim is a book about perverted, misguided leadership. Mm-hmm. That's the whole, meaning think about all the leaders. You had somebody who was a lefty, somebody all he was brute strength and no spirituality. Mm-hmm. You had Yiftach, you had a guy who made an oath to sacrifice his daughter. Mm-hmm. It never worked. Mm-hmm. Why did it never work? For whatever reason. So what's another example of misguided leadership? And I'm giving a long to you. What?
You told me.
A woman. Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, like, it didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. Dora's a good example. She was a great leader. Mm-hmm. But she herself said, how sad is it that you people need a woman to go to war with you?
Uh-huh. Well, she did say that.
She did say that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she herself said, and the reason I do it is because you guys are such losers. But,
In the same story of
Yael
as well.
So everybody, what?
In that story, you said the whole story of Yael.
Like, right, but we don't. The Yael is not the ideal that a woman would seduce and entice this man into her tent, and that's how you're going to beat your enemies. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's like those football teams that start playing, flea flickers and whatever. If you got to win on trick plays, it's not going to go well for you. Anyway, that I just gave a long thematic shear in about 5 seconds. Okay. Yeah, thank you. בכל המעשים שלנו מסלמים פי שם יברך בעשיית המצווה עם חוק עולם דור ודור. והנה המהרסים, מהרסים are the destroyers, בנו פינת דעותיהם הרעות על עיני תורה שבעל פה. They built their whole pyramid of destruction, of dissension, on the תורה שבעל פה. שמצינו פעמים נגד פשטה דקרה, they just go against the פסוקים. They were like, well, we're just reading the Pasuk. Chazal are the ones who are misguided. You know, it says, Lotu Vashel Gedi Bechalei Vimo. So don't cook the milk in the whatever. Whoever heard of the kashrut? You know, they made up all these crazy rules. Chas v'shalom. Okein amar et luchot ha'evin eloseret edibrot. Right? It emphasizes the notion that the Ten Commandments were given, you know, in stone. Just reminds me of a story. A rabbi friend of mine once said, he said, you know, he heard this woman came up to him after a class he gave, and the woman said, you know, I don't keep all the commandments, but I'm very careful about the Ten Commandments. I keep the Ten Commandments. He says to her, well, you know, ma'am, you realize that keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. She said, are you sure? She's not happy about that. Okay. Shechomesh, you know, Shevechomesh shalayim gamken chazak b'lo shum shinoi. And if it ain't efsharu the shinoi shecholav, you can't change the Torah. Here's the last two lines, very important. V'atorah v'amitzvah shekatavti lahorotam, v'kulam natnu l'moshe misinai. All of them were given to Moshe misinai, v'lo nishtaneh, v'lo yishtaneh chas v'shalom d'var echad, v'dvar elokeinu yakum la'olam. See, even Rav Kook, he knew how to be a conservative with a small c when he wanted to. Right? He says, why, what was the whole point? See, it's interestingly enough, he takes this whole piece of Gemara, this whole little section, as a polemic against reform, or reform in their time. What is the Torah trying to say? You can't change the Torah. And just like you guys don't admit that you can't change the Mikra, and you can't change the Psukim, you can't change the Navi, you can't change the Mishnah, you can't change the Gemara, it doesn't change. The irony is, of course, right, if Rav Kook is correct, that that's what they were saying back then, we're still fighting the same fight now.
Is that what they're fighting, or they're fighting the reverse?
What do you mean?
The Sadducees would say, it was only the written. It was the Mishnah wasn't counted, so this way they say the
that's not entirely correct. Sadducees did not negate an oral tradition. There had to be some tradition to interpret.
Other ones,
right, but I'm saying even everybody, right, the Karaites, everyone agreed that there was an interpretation, there was an oral tradition. But they disputed the nature of tradition. I learned this in Jewish history in college. They had to have, everybody has to have, because you can't learn the Torah without it. The Torah is not understandable. What is Shabbat? The Shabbat is so unclear. What's prohibited on Shabbat? It says don't do work. What's work? That's all it says. So everybody agrees you have to have an interpretation. The question is it a more limited literal interpretation or a broader, based on Masorah kind of interpretation? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Anyway, but neither here nor there, the fact that we are, the fight that we're having today, you know, we even stopped fighting. You know, you can't fight anymore. We stopped fighting. We get this fight. If you accept this.
Why isn't the question that the Ten Commandments are written in stone, but nothing else is? And therefore, maybe it's only the Ten Commandments.
I think what Rav Kook is saying is, start with Luchot HaEvan. And the end it says, Kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Misinai. Right? That loops back on itself. Yes. The Luchot Evan were given at Sinai.
But the fact is that the Luchot were given at Sinai in as stone.
Right.
And everything else wasn't.
So you think the Torah does change? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm
just saying.
I've got to be very clear for the recording. All I think, and it's not true.
Johnny, you go for it.
No.
I think he's said that the whole Torah was written on the Luchot, wasn't just the...
Nah. You heard that? The whole Torah is in the Luchot? I've heard that the whole Luchot, each of the Aseret HaDibrot symbolizes like a whole section of the Torah, but I've never heard that.
You say anyway, every word, includes the whole Torah.
Right, and they also say, you know, the words, like when Moshe Rabbeinu, like, threw down the Luchot, right? The letters, right? The letters represent something more than just the words that were written on the Luchot, per se. Mm-hmm. Represent something much greater. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
This is Gemara, right?
That is, what the middle is Gemara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're saying... They are the source of this.
The Gemara is saying that the Gemara is given to Moshe Misinai. So correct.
I see a lot of people who don't agree with that.
People who don't accept the legitimacy of the Gemara, you mean? Yeah. It's always a closed system. Right? If you buy into it, you buy into it.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, for those people, this we might hold anyway. Because they'll just say, well, they...
That's my point about themselves. The Luchot. You could say it was only Luchot or written, but that's not how we see it.
I find Rav Kook's interpretation of this piece compelling.
It's very nice.
No, not nice.
It's
You understand what I mean? What I mean?
It has weight.
I mean compelling in the sense of that's what the Gemara is actually trying to convey. You know what I'm saying? Because when you say melamed that line, kulam nitni Moshe Misinai, that's a polemic. Because it's saying something that's factually questionable, but ideologically true. Right? Do we really think that all these things that we said before were given to Moshe Misinai? Not really. But in the ideology were these things said by Moshe Misinai? Was the system set up in Moshe Misinai? Do we have to have an allegiance to Moshe Misinai? Absolutely. And if you accept that, then everything else is easy. If you question that, then nothing is easy. Everything is complicated. Everything is hard. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Moshe Misinai. Do you accept Moshe Misinai or don't you? And if you do, then you can live with like the questions I mentioned before. You can live with them. There's some things that are greater than me. If I don't accept them and I start wondering about every single thing, you got big trouble.
That's how I'm sorry. If the moment you give up in the source, you give up everything, you have nothing to stand on.
Halacha l'moshe misinai refers to specific halachot.
Right.
But the question is, do you believe in the larger sense that halacha is l'moshe misinai? All of halacha.
That's the Masorah.
Is l'moshe misinai.
Halacha l'moshe misinai is given down through Masorah. So if you're not accepting the way that's transmitted to you, then you can't, there's nothing to accept.
You know, sometimes I feel we don't say this strongly enough. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like we don't advocate a powerful enough position. Like, we had a dialogue and this and that. You know, I had probably one of my most favorite members of my shul. I shouldn't say that, but it's true. Anyway, and they came over from a less observant background. And I said, what did it for you? What made you make that jump? Because it's a very hard jump. And he said to me, you know, we would ask the rabbi questions. Every time we asked a question, he would say, well, maybe you could do it. Oh, yeah, I guess you could do it. You know, and then when we came to you, you were the first person ever to tell us, no, you can't do that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like my conservative rabbi was always like, yeah, I guess you could do it, whatever. Like, you know, and people, sometimes I think we are afraid to say, this is what it is. This is the way we accept. You know, this is our system of belief. This is what God wants us to do. Zell. You know, and all the arguments are very nice, but there's a bottom line. There's an end at which you are limited to say, this is what's given to us. Yeah, and you have to accept that. And that's, by the way, the answer to the whole, the gender issue. Like, at some point, I think there is a level of submission. There's a sense of submission. This is the way that God set it up, that there's a separation between men and women, and especially in a ritual sense. And there is a sort of submission to that, and I think we get into trouble when we don't articulate that sense of submission to our kids. That if they feel like we question everything, and I don't know, and you know, really could change or whatever. Well, if that could change, what else could change? And how concrete are these things? Yeah, it's a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. Sadly, we don't really have time to do the entire Maharal on the Rimi Gash. Sadly.
I'll hold it till next week.
Do you want to hold it till next week?
8:50.
How long have we been going for? 43 minutes? 44 minutes?
Tell us a nice story.
Then with a nice story. You know what? Yeah, I do want to hold it till next week. If only because, actually, I thought we would finish. I don't know. It's a very interesting topic, the whole Rimagash and the Maharaj, the language that they use. So, all right, we'll learn it next week. Yeah, we'll do it next week. And then there's a long, long sugya. We'll start the long sugya of a Yisurin. Right? If you remember from Daf Yomi, I'll do my polemic on Daf Yomi next week now and get to hold on to it. Then there's a long sugya. It's not a polemic, actually. It's just what you have to know what Daf Yomi is and what it's not. You know what I'm saying? And not to say there isn't value. Of course value. But you have to just realize and understand what it is. Based on what the Gemara says, you have to understand what it's not. And that's very much missing, I think. Especially among people who are very intellectual and really need to be challenged. Right? Daf Yomi is not intellectually challenging. It's physically challenging. Yeah. It's not intellectually challenging. And
depends how you do it.
What?
Sometimes.
What do you mean?
The math? I don't know. It's not so clear. Following all the different...
Right, you're talking about understanding what's going on, okay? What I'm saying, once you understand what's going on, then the issue at hand is meant to be grappled with.
Oh,
there's never any time to do that.
It's not mystical or anything. Yeah.
No. I'm not mystical. I'm not mystical. Anyway, whatever. We'll talk about that next week. And then the next sugya we're going to do is the sugya of Yisurin, which is a long sugya. It's a very significant long sugya that the Gemara itself is extremely, extremely, you know, involved in. There's a lot of pirushim. So I got to really go through it and figure out how much I want to do and how much I don't want to do. Because it's a very, obviously, heavy, weighty ideological issue that the Gemara gives extensive attention to. Really extensive attention to. So we'll talk about it and I'll think about how much I want to talk about it. We'll stop here.